Exodus and chapter 3. It's on page number 59. I'm going to read verses 1 through to 15. Exodus chapter 3, page 59, reading from verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? And what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am, has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you should call me from generation to generation. And we thank God for that reading from his word. So we begin today a new series of reflections simply entitled God Is. God Is. It could be God Is dot dot dot. God Is. And my intention is that between now and Easter we will be reflecting on what the scriptures tell us about who God is. And there are many stories that can go around, many rumors, many ideas can go around about what God is like, about who God is. And it's important that from time to time we can come back to the Bible and say, okay, what does the Bible teach us about the character of God, who God is? And so that's what we're going to be spending our time doing today and then the ensuing 10 weeks that I'm here up, and that will take us all the way to Easter Sunday, reflecting on God Is. And as we reflect on God Is, the reason I guess very obvious, I suppose, why I've read the passage from Exodus chapter 3. We have this wonderful story. Moses, he had run away. He wanted to be free from the people of God. He wanted to be free from the Israelites. He was scared for his life. He was hiding away. And God meets him in a mysterious, strange way, the burning bush that didn't burn up. Moses goes close to the burning bush to discover, what is this strange thing? And God speaks to him. And first of all, God introduces himself. I am the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. And you remember how God then says to Moses, okay, I'm sending you to Pharaoh, but who am I to go to Pharaoh? I'll be with you. I'm the God of your father Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. I'll be with you. And quite naturally, Moses' response then is, well, if I go to the leaders of the people of Israel, I could be anybody. I could be anybody who just wants to be big and important for a moment. The God of your fathers has sent me to you. Well, prove it. What's his name? And God responds with, I am who I am. And I've often reflected on that and thought, what kind of name is that? I am who I am. And that is the name that God gives to Moses to go to the people of Israel, to the leaders of Israel, to say, this is who has sent me to you. The God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he says his name is, I am. God is. That's who God said he is. I am. God is. Now, we need to be careful and need to understand that we could say, well, God just is. In a dismissive way. God just is. And by that, we could be communicating that God is. He just is. He's somewhere over there. God is. He's uninvolved with us. He's uninvolved with those who struggle. He's uninvolved with those who are ill. And he's uninvolved with politics and nations and the things of the world. We could just, in a dismissive way, say, well, God just is. But that's not what we read here in this story. God says, always go. Rescue, save, bring them out. God is engaged. God is with. And so in this next today and the next 10 weeks, we're going to be reflecting and understanding it isn't just that God is. It isn't just that I am. But there are character traits that we see in God that we need to reflect upon, to understand who it is that we worship, who it is that we serve, but also to reflect, well, what difference does it make to me? Not simply God is, but God is, dot, dot, dot. Now, I want to reflect just for a second on this God is, and then I'm going to run through what we go very briefly, what we'll be looking at over the next 10 weeks or so. And the first is to say, God is. When we say God is, when God introduces himself to Moses and says, go to the leaders and say, I am who I am, what is he saying? God is saying, I am present. It's not very clever or insightful, but if you say, I am, what are you saying? I am present. I am present. And I think this is such a word of consolation and comfort and encouragement. God is present. The people of Israel, we're told in the opening chapters of Exodus chapters 1 and 2, that they were being oppressed. The Israelites were being oppressed. Their youngest sons, their new baby sons, were being destroyed. They were being massacred. And they were suffering in really unimaginable ways. And they cry out to God. They think God no longer hears our cry. God is no longer with us. We've been abandoned by God. We were led here by our forefathers. And we found a safe place. But now we've been abandoned. And so God says to Moses, go and tell them, I am who I am. Go and tell them, I am present. God is. God is present. And simple word of encouragement and comfort and consolation for each one of us today. However it is that the new year has started for us, it may be that it's just we've just carried on, 2019, 2020, it all just runs into one another. It might be that we're facing new challenges. It might be that there are very deep and profound things that we are facing. And the word of encouragement this morning is God is, what is He?
Present.
God is present. Did you notice when Moses said, who am I to go to Pharaoh, the most powerful man on the face of the earth? Who am I? What did God say? I am with you. I'm with you. I am present. Moses, the land on which you stand right now, he says it's holy land, doesn't he? Take off your sandals. It is holy land. And we might say, I don't know if anybody... It's the kind of thing you might hear about, people going to try and find that piece of land. Has anybody tried that? You know, where was it that Moses did? But of course, that's not the point. It's not the point, literally, that where Moses stood was somehow holy land. But it was because God was present. God is present. Moses, I'm with you right now, the burning bush. And Moses, as you go to Pharaoh, I am present. And as you go to the leaders of Israel, I am present. And when you return to the Pharaoh and you challenge him and you say, let my people go, and Pharaoh says no, God says, Moses, I am present. And when finally you are set free and you come through Egypt and you are faced with the challenge of how do we cross this mass of people, how do we cross the Red Sea, Moses, I am present. And when you get in to the deserts and you're looking towards the land and you don't know what you do, and everybody looks at you and says, Moses, what do we do now? And you say, I haven't a clue. I've never been here before. I've never done this before. It's a unique experience. Moses, I am present. That's what's being communicated here. And it's communicated for us. And it may be that we feel a little like, I've never been here before. I don't know how to do this. And that's an okay place to be. But know this, God says, I am present. And not simply I am present, but Moses, I am sufficient. I am sufficient for you. For Moses, returning to Egypt, going into the royal household that he once was a part of, going to Pharaoh and daring to say to him, God, the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the I Am, says, let my people go. What if he says no? I'm sufficient. I am sufficient. I am who I am. I am sufficient. I'm all you will need. When you face the challenges of the, I don't know what to do next, I am sufficient for you. And it may be that even now, we can reflect and know there have been times in our lives when we've faced things, difficult things, I don't know what to do now things, unimaginable things, painful things. And we said, I don't know. And we've discovered not only is God present, but God is sufficient for us. And God is also able. God is able. Once Moses had died, God spoke to a young man by the name of Joshua and said, Joshua, now it's your turn. You're going to lead these people. Joshua, young man, who am I? I am. I will be with you. Joshua, I am present. I am sufficient and I am able. When you face Jericho, when things go wrong at Ai, and you come back to me, I am sufficient and I am able. I think of Daniel and his three friends. Do you remember his three friends? I can never remember their original names. Do you know what their original names were? Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego are the names they're given. That's the names they're given. I can't remember their original names. But we remember Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. And they are taken into exile. The land of Judea is conquered by Nebuchadnezzar and they're taken into a foreign land, and they have to serve Nebuchadnezzar. And then Nebuchadnezzar dies, and Belshazzar becomes the ruler. And do you remember the writing on the wall? That was Belshazzar. But then after Belshazzar is Darius. And Darius is tricked into making a new law that people are not allowed to pray to anybody apart from Darius. And so what's the first thing Daniel does? His habit is to pray three times a day at his open window. So what does he do? Well, I pray morning, noon and night, so I'm going to do that. And so he does that. And what's the result? Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego are thrown into the pit of fire. They're thrown into... Daniel's thrown into the lion's den. And that's when Daniel needs to know. I am. I am present. I am sufficient for you. And for the three friends, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, being thrown into the fire, I am. Can you imagine? I am. I am present, I'm sufficient, and I'm able. And when Jesus, with his disciples, as they, among themselves, had, you know this wonderful word, discombobulated. You know, in John 13, when Jesus said to them that I'm going to leave you in a short while, I'm going to leave you. And they're talking to one another. What is all this about? Trust in me. Trust in God. Trust also in me. I am. I am present with you. I'll ask the Father and he will send his Spirit. And his Spirit will guide you and console you and comfort you and help you and challenge you. God is present, sufficient and able, whatever you face. And then when we get into the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, a chapter where the writer there talks about women and men and girls and boys of faith, people who trusted in God, and the story is told almost from the beginning. All these people trusted in God and they didn't necessarily see with their own eyes the answer to their prayers. But they knew that God was present, sufficient, and able for each one of them. And at the end of that chapter, the writer, instead of just naming people, says there are many of us. There are many mothers who saw their children die, trusting in God. There are many who suffered in, and you read these terrible ways in which they suffered. And then at the end of that chapter, with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us fix our eyes upon Jesus. God is present, sufficient, and able. And maybe this morning we can be encouraged thinking about God is. God can feel so big, so distant from us. And yet in the passage we read from Exodus, God says, I have come down to be with you, present, sufficient, and able. In the next few weeks, where are we going to go? We're going to talk about God is love. This is the foundation of all we say about... I'm going to click back up there. I'm going to show you that. We're going to talk about God is love. That is foundational for us, this understanding that God is love in every act towards us. And in his being, God is love. And next week we will reflect upon that as it runs through, as a golden thread through the whole of Scripture. God is love in who he is and how he acts towards us. God is love. God is creator. We'll go right back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What does it mean that God is a creator? What does it mean that God is not simply a creator? He is creative. And he makes us to be creative and imaginative. We reflect the character of God as we dream dreams and as we see visions and as we work to put those into practice. God is Savior. We'll be touching again on the story of the Israelites being saved from Egypt and then moving forwards into the New Testament, beginning to reflect on what does it mean for God to send Jesus as our Savior. How does that work for us? What difference does it make? And we reflect on God as holy. God as holy, the prophet Isaiah, seeing an extraordinary vision that he could hardly put into words. And when we read that vision, you know, we're a little kind of, what on earth was going on? Isaiah struggling to describe what he sees in the presence of God, the holiness, the otherness of God. So while we talk about God as love, creator, savior, he is also holy. What does that word mean? And how does it connect and resonate with us? And then as we move into Lent, come to reflect on this. God is silent. You probably saw what I put after that. Sometimes. And as we move into Lent and we reflect on Jesus, Jesus doesn't simply go into the wilderness for his 40 days of temptations. We are told that he is urged, pressed, moved by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, to go into the wilderness, to go to a place of aloneness and silence. And God is silent sometimes. How do we deal with that? What does that mean? Sometimes God is silent and God does not speak. Sometimes we feel the presence of God, but there's nothing from him. Sometimes God feels not just silent, but distant as well. And so we will reflect upon that. God is parent. It may be that we want to say straight away, God is father, and that is true. But God also is portrayed as mother in the scriptures. And so we need to pay attention to that. When Jesus introduced God to his disciples, he spoke about Father. But the Old Testament also uses illustrations, metaphors, ways of describing God as a mother. What does it mean that God is a father, a mother, a parent to us? And so we will reflect upon that. And I've said, God is Jesus. And now you've guessed, I've left something there. God is Jesus. And yeah, I want to clarify that and say God is revealed in Jesus. God, Jesus is God. But particularly as we read the Bible story, and as we get to the New Testament and read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, we realise God is revealed perfectly in the Lord Jesus. He is the exact image of God. Colossians 1, verse 15. What does it mean that we can look at Jesus and we see God? There is not an iota of difference between them. And then, as we move towards Easter, God is faithful. And on Palm Sunday, God is just. Jesus makes his journey into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. Jesus is king. Not like the kings of earth. What does it mean that God is a king revealed in Jesus? It means that he is just. What does it mean that God is just? That he administers justice and equity. And then on Easter Sunday, God is life. So that's where we're going to go in the next few weeks. But today, God is present. Do you remember them? Present, sufficient, able. God is present, sufficient, and able. And we're going to pray together. We're going to pause, and I want us just to reflect on that for ourselves. Whatever it is that we're facing, sometimes we face things today that we think we should have dealt with a long time ago, but it's still there for us. Never seems to go away. And for that, and for all that we face, God is present, sufficient, and able. Let's just be quiet for a moment and then I'll pray. Thank you, Father, the living God. You are present. Thank you, Father, the living God, that you are sufficient. Thank you, Father, the living God, that you are able. Humbly, we hold our lives before you. We ask your help. We ask your blessing. We ask your strength and your encouragement. Holy Spirit, meet us with life and with love. In the name of Christ, amen. So I do encourage you, if you just sense that God has encouraged you, tell somebody. Maybe that you want to receive prayer at the end of the service, please do come forward and there will be those at the front who will pray a blessing for you. We're going to sing together. Holy, holy, How are you, Lord? Let's stand together, shall we? We're going to begin, as we do, in the middle, as our prayer. We'll sing this line a couple of times. Let your face. That's a bit loud. Let's begin in the middle and just cry out this prayer. Let your may the Father, who never ceases in loving you, lavish his great love upon you. The Lord sends you out into the world to love and to serve. May light flood your darkness, love overflow your heart, and life surprise you with joy. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen. Amen. Amen.